Well, look, you know, I'm not going to name names or victimize people or anything, but it's just, if we can just tell the story, that's what we can do, isn't it? That's, mm-hmm. you know, the best you can do. And it's not offensive and it's not hurting anybody. The only people it hurts are people who are lying to you. And so that would be, you know, perfectly within my human right to express the truth.
I can't get away with not doing it.
Exactly.
And your real friends will always stay close to you with the truth and their truth. That's always a good thing.
They'll also tell you how badly you smell.
And are they assuming that it is me when it is they?
A true friend knows what you smell like. And it's like, Hooli today, you know, go and have a... Just,
and they know your favorite beverage.
Go and have a baby wipe or something.
You've heard that they made it illegal now that you can't get that antibacterial soap because the EPA actually did something nice for humanity and said this stuff is poison. You shouldn't have it for sale.
What, all antibacterial soap or some?
Commercial hand sanitizer. Yeah, it's a chemical that they stick in it that they're...
Oh, the chemical in it. What's it called? Do you know?
I don't know. Quick, somebody hand me a note with the word on it.
All right.
it's
where's my researcher? Damn, you can't get the staff these days.
Hey, I go through this 5 days a week, JP. It doesn't mean I can read, you know, hold all that information, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. But it was a happy thing to see that people are so germophobic. Everything has been in so fear of what mother provides for us. Some of that fungus is really cool. Some of the mold is needed. You know, we've been taught to have fear of just life, and that's just not right. Because I like a lot of different funguses and molds. I know how to get rid of them. So
can I say that some of the mold is needed, but not on my fruit, please,
and not in my body,
and not on JP's body,
yeah.
or on our green peppers.
Yeah.
If it's in, it's on. And that's sad to see in people, because I know what you're saying, JP, about the nom-nom and that the parasites and the fungus and the candidus, it literally does destroy every ounce of happy time.
The unbalanced.
Well, right? it creates a craving. About. It's the thing that makes that, oh, it's gone again, makes that craving. I wonder, I just might... I'll probably be gone a few seconds, okay? I just need to... I'm going to reboot my...
Well, if B is still here and it's showing it, yeah. Then yeah, Eagle and I will talk behind your...
We can cover for you, buddy. We might have a couple hours behind us here.
Yeah.
Keep things going.
Yeah. I'll do what I can to be back with you in a minute. I'm just going to change my IP.
Oh.
Are we going Shungai when you get back there, by the way?
If you want, we can go. Okay, am I back? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay, we're back on. Don't know about that 146 network, but anyway, we'll see what we can do. I've broken everything now. Huh. There we go. I can hear you
are
now.
Are we sure?
All right. How are we? Are we there?
Skype. Yeah.
Are we there yet?
Yes. Studio B is now.
I gotta pee. Pull over.
Studio B is online. JP.
Therapy online.
All right. So anyway, where were we? I've just changed IPs, so those Russian hackers will all have a little while to catch up with me. Anyhow, where was I?
Producing the number one show on the internet by 12 people. I mean, where were we, JP?
that was so last week. Yeah, no, where was I? I was, I've been talking with, this amazing guy, called Audrey Ewers. I had him on the show last week and he's been talking to us ever since and he's been hanging out in the, Wolf Spirit chat room. We're looking after him. We don't, need assholes. Okay. So, if there are any people who have a negative intent, they will be detected because he's being protected by the wolf pack, basically.
Yes. We know bad intent. That's for sure.
Yeah. And so, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to connect with him and be able to do that in the space that we have for him. You know, he's been telling us, stories about who we are, and so there's a whole big new level of what you'd call disclosure about, and what it is our history. That's the real disclosure. The real disclosure that we've been waiting for is not about whether there are extraterrestrials or not. That's obvious. But who we are is not so obvious. And in the Lyran shows that I've been doing, it's been kind of dawning on me. It's like really slowly, like, oh, those are who we're talking about, right?
Because they're each little pieces of aspects of our own internal being. Is that what you're trying to say?
Everybody is a part of these things. Everybody is a part of Zeus, of Odin, of the gods.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon.
Oh, by the way, did you see, I saw a, you can get this knitted mermaid, sleeping bag thing. For girls who want to be mermaids. Yeah, just what happens if you need to go to the bathroom? I don't know.
I lived in Florida and they had a tourist place because there were Silver Springs there in Weekiwachee and there were natural caves with purest water you could drink. Oh my gosh. And these ladies would literally dress up in mermaid costumes and put on shows for tourists. Could you imagine being underwater for 2 hours and breathing through a hose?
That
takes a lot of training.
There's something special about the mermaid.
It's been done, gone.
They tried to depict it with Daryl Hannah there and Tom Hanks in that one.
Well, no, this was well before then.
I know, in the recent movie there in the 80s, you know. But yeah, the mermaid energy is, you know.
Yeah, but if you look at Harry Potter, they made him out to be nasty, ugly, you know, well, pull you down to the bottom of the lake, you know.
Well, there are, you know, we can't go, look, we have bees and we have wasps. We have butterflies and we have moths. Mm. We have these polarities in character with all the animals here. It's like there's a shadow character. You know, they've got the nice, pretty ones and then they're kind of, you know, the stingy, old, nettly ones. Have their merits.
Exactly.
You know, they have their merits, but there is definitely a duality in them, isn't there?
Great deduction. But I was just thinking when you said that earthworm, there's no, well, maybe it'd be a
centipede. Yeah, there's a flatworm.
I don't know.
There's a flatworm. Earthworms are eaten by flatworms and they're a real problem in Britain because we're an island.
The flatworms.
Flatworms have been imported in foreign plants, and they are bigger, meaner. They don't do anything for the earth. They're like enormous flukes, really.
Ew.
Yeah. and so a lot of British soil is being killed by these flatworms, and I live north of the mountains. Where there's little soil, so, you know, I'm sure some B&Q has got a whole bunch of these, flatworms, just ready to invade northern Scotland, where everything's still pure, and the water's still pure, and the air is still pure. Do you see the skies?
Loch Ness, right? Loch Ness.
Loch Ness. Now, Loch Ness is really interesting, because, if you imagine two mountains, where they kind of meet, or if you like, almost like a lips, like if the earth is expanding, it's where the crust has torn apart, like in baking bread. That's what the earth's crust looks like sometimes, doesn't it? Like baking bread as it expands. Because that's what it looks like underneath. So when you got, you got these two crustal edges, but so it's a kind of V-shaped valley that Loch Ness is. And because it's landlocked, it's locked in, below the surface, there's this enormous V-shaped pool, and it's really deep and it's really murky. It's full of peat. And so it's dark and mysterious and wide and deep and, you know, there is, I tell you,
number of hidey holes like eels would use, right?
Oh, you'd see, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of caves down there under the water and holes. They've tried to, send, little submarines down there, The latest thing is that they haven't found bones because the Nessie is a slug of some kind, an enormous sea slug.
But is that salt water, not fresh?
Loch Ness it's the Ness estuary, the River Ness gathers into Loch Ness at Inverness and expresses into the Murray Firth, which is that big, wide estuary-shaped thing in the north of Scotland.
So it sounds like it's fresh.
Yeah. But murky.
Well, dark, that's okay.
Dark and murky nights.
You've seen those videos of where the volcanoes are actually on the bottom of the ocean bubbling up with all their caustic waste and their sea life like loving it, like they're partying all around it because that's what they're made for.
Mm-hmm. Extremophiles, things like bacteria that live in nuclear weapons and nuclear reactors.
Oh.
There's life everywhere. Right. You just can't stop life. That's the thing, you know. We have been sold such a bill of goods. You know, oh, we're the only planet with life on it. You know, it's just like, really? Really? Do you think we're all Catholics? I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, excuse me. That's one of the C words.
I can't say it. Isn't it the Holy Roman Empire? Has a very particular mind control system that convinces people that the universe, that the world is flat, for one. The earth is flat. That's a Catholic doctrine. Another one is that you're owned by the Pope, you know, that somehow, because he said so, that you are, and that you're all subject to papal rule. And that we have a Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, that so I don't like.
All either. Three of those are brought in by the same fellow.
Really?
Yeah. And whoa. it's all Catholic dogma, you know, Pope Gregory. It's all Catholic dogma. It's all, so if you're living in this calendar world, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's the mind of it.
Aww.
If you're living in that mind, you can't get out of the mind. That is the matrix. That is the matrix itself. It's not like a machine. It's like the Holy Roman Empire. It covers every aspect of your life.
And here I thought not worrying about insurance and different things like that, that I wasn't playing the game. But you're really right.
The game is bigger than that even.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that deserves a fascinating. Where's my Spock?
Yeah.
Where's my?
And I got a little more follow up on Nessie.
Okay, let's have a quick Spock.
Fascinating.
Thank you very much, Spock.
So, I know, I loved him.
We do love a Spock. So Rob, let's see if you get a Spock.
Fascinating.
We're off to see the wizard. So what was your info on the Lady of the Ness?
Well, I have to get a magnifying glass to make it work here right.
Uh-oh.
But here we go, folks. This is worth it. photographs, film footage of an unidentified creature both on the surface and underwater do exist. From studying these photos, many have come to the conclusion that Nessie is a prehistoric reptile known as a plesiosaur or an extinct whale known as the Zeuglogodon.
A freshwater whale. Wait a minute. That would have to be salt then.
Elva.
Well.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Should I,
keep going.
Should I spell that?
Yeah,
should I spell that last
Yeah, could you look, wiki it up for me? Let's see. Yes, do some live research here and see what's going on. And,
Zeuglodon.
So what would that mean? Z-glue.
Sounds like a zoops. Zeuglodon. Like a dog.
Zeuglodon.
Yeah.
Oh. So, well anyway.
I like the way you say Nessie, by the way. You say it pretty nice.
Well, you know, you have to speak with the lilt.
If
you don't do the accent, because that's insulting almost to try and do a Scottish accent, but you match the rhythm of the way people speak.
The lilt or the kilt?
The lilt under the kilt, and
I'm
everything's in perfect
southern,
working order.
Southern boys and the spitting of the chew and the talking so slow that you have barely any remembrance what the heck you were going to say.
What happened at the start of the sentence? That's right. So it's interesting, you know, they speak to people who speak really slowly. You know.
Yeah.
People complain about me.
Wow. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see anyone would do that.
Yeah, I like his
voice.
Oh,
they do. All over YouTube. You know, whenever I've got a YouTube and I'm speaking to Alex Collier or Simon Parks. Oh, that old parent, just shut him up. And I just want to hear the other guy. He's so boring. He's so English. Stop that English bloke. you can't please everyone.
I really can't please everyone, and I
give a monkey's what those other people think, because if I don't please them, then go somewhere else where it pleases you. I'm very happy to be the object of somebody else's not being pleasurable so that they can move on to finding something that is pleasurable. So
Correct. If
you don't like me, find somebody who you do like. You know, don't spend time just being horrible to somebody. Just be happy and find what makes you happy and do that all the time. People don't get that, do they, Mona?
Yeah, don't waste their time on the negative spiral. Move on and, you know, search somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Real simple.
Yeah.
I haven't had much backlash, so it's kind of interesting in that manner.
Oh,
I do get it.
You should try having a YouTube channel, Mona.
No, I meant on my YouTube. I only had one guy come in threaten me twice, and then I'm kind of like, well, bless you, brother, and that's it. You know, I didn't push back. I let him slide or let him think what he was saying was the way he felt and could get away with it, and haven't been bothered since.
Mm. To be honest.
On Facebook either. Hmm?
To be honest.
You made a difference. He couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah. You know? To be honest, I basically ignore everything on YouTube. Apart from things that when people say really nice things, I think that's really nice. That's all right. I know that's like really sycophantic and not taking criticism, but like we're all on a learning path, right? If somebody's got something, that is of value for my learning to make me better, then they'll generally be, contacting me through the site and, you know, talking to me. But there are people who just want to criticize, and it's not my job to engage their drama.
Right, and a lot of manners and ways.
Yeah, because it's
their drama that they're engaging.
Exactly, it's just a way of sucking life out of somebody, and I'm not going to engage with it, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
Because I don't have the time. I mean, it's not because I'm choosing to do so. It's I haven't had the chance to do it. So, and I've noticed that's the effect that it has. You know, it's like, it's a bit like ignoring bills until somebody knocks on the door. Why not wait until a person knocks on the door and you don't have to worry?
Well, that's
going to
be a whole lot different though with the responses of your behavior because it changes every week.
Yeah.
How about journeys of the high road?
High journeys. You know, what? Journeys is quite interesting. Ever Beyond is a very interesting thing, because I was talking to somebody today, and it's almost like during this conversation where we went, she actually said, yes, and well, the way we were talking, I always, yeah, my conversation was, you always take me ever beyond, oh.
Beyond.
She said the title of my name in a sentence and then realized, ah, that's why you call it that. Right, I get you.
That's cool.
That's really cool when you get somebody to brand you, you know, to give you your brand. Ah, there you go. Oh, well. So anyway.
My whole life consists in that, JB.
Is it? So, what have you been learning, Herbal Floozy? What's the biggest puzzle piece that you've found so far?
I'm stuck.
Oh, look at you. Stuck for words, Mona Radler. Come on.
I'm stuck in the giggle. I'm recognizing that I have to really tolerate more of the pain and disharmony that humanity has bred upon itself, because all the natural love of this planet is being annihilated. And it's not easy. It's very difficult not to get caught up in the I want to kick some butt back. But there's just no sense in it. So it is more of finding a better harmonic with the source. And I'll do my rattle and I'll beat the drum and I'll call to the grand spirit and say, help our brothers and sisters out there at the reservation and in Syria and in Palestine, and anybody who's got any harm and aggression against them, shall they be healed. Because this is just what's happening to everybody in so many different layers and degrees. So I'm having to learn how to not take it on as mine, even though I'm still part of one who is a part of it. Did that make sense?
It does, and I think that's a very important stage that you have to get through, that we all have to get through, is that, oh my God, look at that, look at this, look at that, look at that, look at this. Oh my God, isn't it terrible? No.
Yeah, but when
it's
you're
changing.
Empathetic,
yeah, yeah,
JP,
but
you
yeah,
know
I know,
how that feels.
I know, I know, but here's the thing, and this is the big nub, this is the spiritual thing, is there's a whole difference between sympathy and empathy.
Yes, indeed.
And sympathy is, oh, there. Let me do something about it. Let me make things better for you.
Mm-hmm. Get in the way.
And you get in the way, yeah. So, the whole thing is to allow the pain to pass through you.
Mm-hmm.
And not let it break your heart, because you can't actually break it. And do you know what a Kong is? It's a dog toy. A Kong, you put peanut butter in it.
Never heard of one, but go ahead.
It's made of this latex rubber. It's, you know, raw rubber. And the dog can chew the crap out of it and it won't destroy it. So everybody will say, I've got a dog that kills a Kong. But anyway, you know, everybody's got a dog that kills a Kong. But basically, most dogs can't even put a bite mark into this thing. And so that's what our hearts should be made from. You know, this fantastic living substance that can take any kind of squishing, squeezing, and just keep going. Just like, whoop, thank you, bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
Snake, you know, feels like, just, to, because, right? Because it's free from heartbreak. It has been deprogrammed from the heartbreak program.
Vibration you were getting into here.
Yeah. All right, so the heartbreak program, that's part of how humanity is kept down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is music all about? Every song, just about. Very few songs are about, oh, how I love you and how this is wonderful and how we have a great life together. No, because people who have a great life together aren't writing songs. They're just living their lives and having a good time, you know. So the only people who write songs are people who are having a terrible misfortune in love, usually. Or in money. So, you know, and generally songs, you know, rock and roll is about getting paid and getting, you know, and having love. And
I write the songs that make the...
Exactly. I make the songs that get the girls into the studio couch.
Make the whole world sing.
Yeah. But, you know, it's how we all got here, you know, how we keep staying here.
There we go. That's a good point.
It's a good point. And not having it is sore. And this
keep
is the whole thing. And
keep that point active.
Right. But here's the thing. You know, we've been through several situations this whole last year, which have been heartbreaking. You know, we've lost friends who have been and this is heartbreaking. And that's the idea. They're trying to break our hearts. That's what the Nazis are like. They will use our hearts against us.
Don't let them.
We can't. Right. So.
Love yourself. Love the world.
Yeah.
Love your heart.
Whatever it is.
Kind of just not take it personally, then, in my opinion.
Well, taking it, but everybody takes it personally because love is a personal thing, isn't it?
I meant the pain and the agony. Darling.
Everybody can tell you a story of how they lost someone. Everybody carries
that.
That
doesn't mean it's a happy love then, does it?
No, that's the problem. The problem is the loss. You see? So we chase love, hoping that we won't lose it. And of course, eventually we do, and everything, you know, goes inwards and spirals and then we don't want to do it again. And so
that brings a story to my mind I want to say real quick.
Say it real quick.
I knew a woman who lost her firstborn, and she was such in bad shape and pity. The child that was around, even to adulthood, could not ever live up to that mother because she could only live for the death and the time of that other child being gone. Now, love is a strange three different energy kind of word.
Love is a triple-edged sword.
Yeah, so that needs a little description because we've been not taught the right use of that energy.
All right, so here's the other thing, is that in certain parts of the galaxy, our language is described as a mind virus. You know, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about before. You know how in terms of the context of what we were seeing, in terms of the Gregorian mentality that we live in. Now we can step outside and see, the Gregorian mentality, that's the Matrix. And, you know, even by keeping time, by wearing a watch, why wearing a wristwatch, people? You are bound to Gregorian time. That's what it is. And people say, what was that thing that they put around your ankle when you've done some bad things and they want you to stay at home? What do they call that thing?
Yeah, anklet, something anklet.
Rob, what's that thing called?
Neither one of us have been criminals who've needed one.
You
so
don't know.
Can't tell you.
Anyway, so it's essentially the same as that, but that links
it's
you
an
in.
Ankle bracelet.
Yeah, ankle bracelet.
Monitor.
Ankle monitor.
I had a hemp bracelet down there when I was in my hip.
You hippie.
I was cool.
But look. You hippie. Here we are, we're all hippies. Young hippies. Hey, look at you, I'm hanging out. Anyway, look. So love was the thing that they try to get us with. Right? Because it plays on this old human trauma that has happened to every human and is like a bug. It's become a bug in our system. And that's what I'm here. It's obviously what I'm here to do is to debug the Lyran trauma.
I want to bring up something because you
know, I hope you ate it. I hope you chewed it thoroughly.
Yes, I'm going to.
Okay.
That unconditional love, because for every infant, we have a certain length of time that some kind of nurturing that we might have thought was love was being provided for us. Now, depending on what the attention was, that might be the level of the degree or the prescription that we would recognize to think should be love.
Exactly. That's a very good point, Mona, because you may grow up in an atmosphere of hatred and coldness, and it's like there's silence, you know, And you, everybody thinks, oh, look, how you like silence and how, like, but that's what it feels like. That's what home feels like. You see, so we end up with the most abusive people because they do the things that our abusive parents did. And they didn't know that they were abusive because they were abused themselves. And it all goes back and back and back and back. All the way to Gregory. It probably goes, it goes further back. Goes back to, yeah, anyway, long time. You can keep going back. And it goes back beyond, like, humans being on this planet.
Yeah, I'm even feeling energy now, what was going on when I was in my mother's womb, JP.
Oh, yes. And this is another thing. Prenatal memories and prenatal trauma.
Well,
you know, what
I
if
had
your
a twin
sister?
Sister.
Yeah. You had a twin sister. No wonder there are two of you.
Well, there's only one real me, but three of us tag along. Yeah. But my sister and I are completely opposite.
Really? Does she sit on your other shoulder?
No. My family has denied me many times. Because I don't play into their norm of what they are.
They wrote you out of the will.
They paid me to leave.
Please go. Hey, here's a thought. Here's how you can make money forever. You ask them to send a regular stipend or you'll come home. There you go.
It's a long story and I wouldn't dare.
You could try. You could try.
I gave my best to try to give assistance and unconditional being for them because they're in their elder age. But they didn't like the smell of my patchouli and my sandalwood and that I was able to think for myself. So that's why I was not allowed to stay. Even though the rest of my family got to live there for years, I only got 2 weeks. And I'm talking when I turned... it was 2011, so.
She was the black sheep of
I
the
am
family.
Still, yeah.
This is the black sheep flock.
That's all right.
Rob, Rob.
That's because she knew right from wrong.
Tell me, Rob.
Yes.
Tell me about your pieces. Your chunks.
Ring the bell, quick, ring the bell!
Your nuggets.
Well, you know, if we want to go for more than 12, we could definitely make it happen.
So what's your love the best? What do you think love consists of, Rob? I mean, you know,
well,
where you really is your heart?
You brought up the term unconditional, and I feel I have a vibratory unconditional love with my mother and father. No, I'm blessed, I'm fortunate to have that. Despite any of my craziness of who I am and what I do, that unconditional love will still be there. That's a vibration that seems to exist. But as far as attention and being in the presence and, like JP said, paying money to not come home and things like that, that does exist in this world. And I can attest to things like that. But, you know, the true love is unconditional, a family love genetically passed on. But me, myself, you know, I always give everyone, you know, the benefit of the doubt. And I work with that same vibration because I've received that vibration. So maybe that's why I'm a little different, you know. I have the unconditional.
But that means that life is love. That's what I know, the glue that holds us all together. So everything should just be done unconditionally in the thought of love, which equals respect, cohabitating in peace more than, you know, battles, things like that.
And
that means from every rock to the stars, okay?
Well, they sang the song, you know, I want to know what love is. You know, I want to know. You know, that's someone deeply.
You realize just after you started that the notes were far too high.
Yeah. You have to realize
I know that. I know that.
Well, you have an awareness, JP. You have an incredible audible, you know, ability.
No, that's because I've been there. I think, how I want to know. No, I couldn't. I want to know what love is.
Well, I do appreciate being here on Journeys, my friend.
Oh, he might have just had something cold to drink. You know that it freezes up the larynx, right?
It's it's a little sailboat going down the river. He's just swum out from the bank. Stardust Man. Hello, Daryl. How are you doing? He takes a long time to respond. Please give him space. Daryl, hello.
Right.
Daryl who? Who are you?
Yeah.
Do I know you?
Yes, Mama, you know me very well.
I know.
Yeah, you know me. You know. Yeah, most people, I mean, yeah, I'd rather be known who I am, you know, Daryl. But, you know, people that are more familiar with Stardust Man, you know? Yeah, that's me. I love you all so much. Anyway,
is that unconditional now? Come on, tell the truth.
That's where we're going.
Pardon me.
Hey. Yes, definitely.
Anyway, Daryl, you're loved unconditionally by me, just so you know.
Oh, thank you. Something I wanted to ask, JP, something I mentioned to you a long time ago that, when I first asked you, it's like, it was, from your response, it seemed like it was something you never thought about before, and, all this time later now, I'd like to know if you thought about it is, you know, we talk about the hair, you know. I mean, from what I understand, maybe I'm wrong, but from what I understand, you and I started growing our hair and not cutting it at the same time for the same reason. You know, heard about the Vietnam thing, about, you know, the Indians tracking, you know, getting men to the army because they did such a good job, and then so the first thing they do, they cut their hair and they lost that ability, right? And I asked you about those, like, at the behind your head, you know, like, below your long growing hairs, there's these, like, really super fine short hairs. And we talked about hair as being an antennae. And I was wondering, and I didn't describe it back then, but those little really short hairs underneath your long hairs, if they were like the antennae to, okay, the long ones is just tells you what's around you, but the fine ones, are they for telling you ones that are around you that come, okay, like, okay, there's several names to that: Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Bottle Snowman. They're all different races of the same beings, but, you know, they can come in from other
parallel doorways. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Are those little hairs, is their purpose to sensing beings coming in from different dimensions, or
like a radar,
or whatever you want to call it? Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, you know, long hairs tell you, like, if your fellow man comes close to you, you know it.
One word. Multiband. Multiband, yeah, antenna. Do you know what a multiband antenna is?
Right. And the short.
So, what are the frequencies about? What frequencies are transmitted on what wave band? Yes? What information, what data is transferred on what wave band?
Right, like that's a long wave or picked up a long hair.
Exactly, long hair will be long waves, which is low frequencies. Short hairs will be short waves, will be higher frequencies.
That's only in the back, right, around the neck area. Is that what you're
saying?
Well,
we have it everywhere. We have it on our face.
Well, that's what I was thinking, goose pimples.
Yes, but look at the hair on your lips. Yeah? No.
Do I have to?
Women try to get rid of it, but maybe you shouldn't.
Well, I don't
maybe give
Maybe
you
relief,
should just
but,
see what it happens. Because, here's the thing, I used to lay in bed, and my ex-girlfriend, she used to stroke my cheek. And I used to say, can you just stop that? Because I can hear it. And it's like,
right.
If you could, if you, like, imagine, taking a large sheet of plyboard and then hammering, like, 9-inch nails into it, just a few inches in, so that they stick out. And then go, bingity, 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 bing. You'd take a stick and run a stick along them.
Oh,
you'd hear it,
know.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what, I can hear my skin.
Oh my God.
I can hear my skin. And that's where you hear bass. You when that's why you like, this is why you like going to concerts. Because you get the big bass that actually makes the skin, makes the hairs on your skin, vibrate. With all the different frequencies of sound. Now, okay, so back to Daryl and his, his Stardust question, which is, are the small short hairs used for communication, or are they early warning devices, or are they both or more? Yes, 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 and yes. Next.
All about love.
So,
I do
you're
agree
right on
with that. Think of who was it that had his locks cut off in the Bible and
Samson.
Lost his strength?
Samson. He was a Nazarene.
Well, that's right. I even named my son Samson for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
yeah, there's a couple of songs by John Lennon. I just go into a daze every time I hear them. One of them is Imagine. Imagine, that song. Beautiful song.
Yeah, well, that see, when you say the word imagine, that immediately puts you into a trance. Just the word. So, you know, you hear that chord, which is an interesting discord. What is it? It's a six or something. It's a suspended six. That famous chord, the beginning of...
It's almost like a command to the computer.
It's a key code. You know, bing, 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 imagine, bing. All right, okay. And... You know, consider that it might also be part of a psyop, but it could be used that way, the way it was produced.
Locks. Locks. Locks of hair. Lockness. It's all here.
Loch I the New. We'll be back in a minute or few. Welcome back to the little bobbing boat that is Journeys with JP. Today we're on the Great River Styx, crossing over to the Murray Firth and ending up in Loch Ness, staring down at the mirror still waters, murky deep, only reflecting the dark, cloudy sky on a dark and stormy night. Meanwhile, who am I joined with? We've got Mona. We have Eagle Eye, and we have Daryl. So, where were we? We were talking about unconditional love at some point, weren't we?
Until somebody wanted to show us or bring attention to that. We have ways of sensing these things.
Our frequency, harp array. Yeah, so everybody has their own harp array. So if you think, You may notice that, you know, as Daryl noticed, that there are small hairs on the back of the neck that grow between the hairs. You know, there are your eyebrows as well. You know, has anybody ever thought, what do the eyebrows receive or transmit? I mean, for instance, we do, like, visually transmit and receive with the eyebrow. You know, tiny movements of the eyebrow can induce great comedy, you know. It's like some of the great comedians have got the best eyebrows. I do like eyebrows myself. They're the most expressive thing about the human. And
what's pathetic is that women have been trained that they're supposed to maintain and make. And every time I would pull a hair, I would sneeze. My eyes would get
all red. It mustn't happen. No, you mustn't do that.
I
they're
was young
incredible.
Once and I played the game. Okay, JP.
I tell you, natural eyebrows—they're the most beautiful things. Natural, just left as they are.
Tells a lot about a person, it really does.
Yeah, and speaks all the time. And I think that's probably why people pluck them. is, you know, to hide what they're trying to hide.
JP, I'm with you.
What do you think, Rob?
I'm with you on this vibration on the eyebrows. One of the greatest eyebrow comedians ever, John Belushi.
Indeed. And look at his Belushi eyebrows. Bushy Belushi. They probably never called him. Probably plenty of other names for him than Bushy Belushi.
Well, all the young artists had it, like Carol Burnett and that, because that was the only way to really give expression, like Vaudeville. What do you call it?
Vaudeville.
Thank you. Oh, wow.
Penny Marshall was good at the eyebrows, too. We always love Penny.
I love the crickets in the background. It really gives atmosphere to it, to the show. It's like, I love it.
I wish my creek was running louder, though, because then that would really put some nice harmonics in it. But, yeah, thank you.
Is it unconditional love for the crickets, JP?
I unconditionally... Yeah, it's amazing to listen to one cricket. You know, I went to... Because we don't have crickets in Scotland. They all go... rather than... But... I went to Cyprus a few times to see my son, and I was exposed to the sound of multiple crickets in the street. And it's like, wow, this and they all they have this thing that's going on, and it seems to be a constant beat. But if you just listen to one, they're just going.
It's their legs. It's air through the legs. It's really a cool art.
But the thing is they're not all making the sound, but whenever they do make a sound, it's in the same rhythm. And that's why you get the pulsation of it, is that they're all doing it at the same time. That's hive mind for you.
I got something to contribute about the crickets.
Tell us about
the crickets. The thing I love about crickets is, the sound they do, it's the frequency, and the frequency tells you directly what the temperature is outside, because the warmer it is, the faster they make the frequency. Over.
Interesting. It's pretty cool here. It's about in the early 70s, so it's pretty cool here. That's why they sound mellow. They're not freaking hot.
And I see it as like that kind of game with those little funny sticks with those big padded things on their legs they play. Don't they call it cricket?
That's, yeah. And they also say, there's also a phrase that if somebody's doing something rather unfairly, they say, ah, that's not cricket, my friend.
Okay.
Or something like that. Okay. Maybe not my friend. You bastard, maybe.
Jiminy cricket.
Yeah.
Hey, if everybody just be quiet for a second, I'm in my backyard and you will hear the frequency of the crickets in my backyard. Well, you're going to hear dogs barking in the background too. I mean, long ways away, but just listen. You hear that frequency?
It's not quite loud enough to go above the quieting of your cell phone.
Okay, yeah, well...
Can you get closer to it? Can you get it really loud? Because it's basically the phone is looking for...
The cricket.
Yeah. Crickets, would you sing in unison for me, please, just now?
I'll try. I mean, it's just barely...
All I can hear are my crickets.
Yeah, this is Wolf Spirit Radio, where dead air is well known. Cricket, we really are listening. I mean, I don't really think that you could really surpass this as a moment in radio when we are actually listening to crickets instead of having a conversation.
Musicians who get their music from the crickets. Yeah. They are a natural thing that get people to want to share the sound. The crickets are cool.
It's a cool vibration. What does it rhyme with? What does cricket rhyme with?
Not very much.
Rickets.
Yeah, thanks, Irina. Pick it, Jimmy. Rick it, nick it. It just sounds like a dismissive curse word.
It took a left.
It does, doesn't it? You know. Oh, well. So, 1808. Here we are in this strange cyber situation. We haven't spoken about Shungite yet, Rob. You were going to say.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to briefly go over you had a nice conversation with Simon Parks, but we can...
Tell us about... I'm very happy to talk about that. What do you think?
Just brilliant. I want to hear more. If I could get back into the archives and get more of that, I would just love it.
Go to my YouTube.
Love your work there with Simon. I just thought I'd mention it because, you know, not everyone gets the opportunity to speak with him, so... I think that's really nice that that's happening, and it's, you know, it's kind of like an unconditional friendship you have there. You can really tell you've connected and, you know, crossing some really good, as we say, the crossing, you know, he's part of the crossing.
This is the time of the crossing, and we're all crossing, and we're hopefully not getting too cross with each other.
And it's
he's
nice
the only one I listen to that is creating that kind of energy of recognition, and not for him. But for the agendas that are surrounding us. That's why I like Simon Parks. And I left an email because I'd love to have him on my show. But, you know.
He's very, very busy.
I think we'd have a great conversation.
Very, very busy.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. But, you know, hey, I'm worth it, too.
I know. well, I mean, we'll be expanding on it. We'll be expanding on it in the future and things will work out a bit better. But there's a lot of people who are very critical. And like I was saying, you know, if people want to listen to me, that's great. I'm really happy. And if people don't want to listen to me, that's great too. They got other things to listen to. You know, I'm not for everybody. I know that I'm not. But for the people who listen to people who enjoy this kind of thing, that's great. And if not, then just fine. Move on. May I be an impetus to you finding the better thing or even speaking out yourself and saying your truth. Because really, this point, there's a whole new generation waiting to bud. Just kind of, just below the surface, the seeds have been sown, they're just about to poke their nose through the surface, and there are some fantastic people who have got some amazing wisdom who are just gonna come through, that is now, it's like, in order to condition the soil, you have to grow some potatoes to break up all the bits in it, you know? And
I thought it was concrete or alfalfa.
Well, whatever.
Exactly. I just have to throw two cents.
I'm just
there.
An old potato.
I was raised on a farm in North Dakota, and my father knew the importance of rotating crops, and every once in a while, you know, you have to not grow a crop and just leave it there, and he knew the importance of that. And then one of the most important crops. Because he knew that the cows would go crazy eating that crop was alfalfa, because alfalfa would put the nitrogen back into the soil. Because nowadays they take everything out of the soil and they don't put nothing back. But my father, he knew to put nitrogen back into the soil so future crops would have that Gaia energy to grow, you know.
Well, clover will put it back in. Also, but yeah, I'm missing the gardening that once was. It's not the same anymore.
So, from the garden to the truth movement, or the alternative media network, whatever we are. Don't like to call it a movement, because every time it gets a movement, we get a leader, and the last thing we need is a leader.
Yeah, especially a leader that needs depends.
Yeah, and we don't need followers either. We should be
just be
walking
together. We need a healer in every community. And, see, your phone agrees. We need small communities. We need healers, doctors, everything in the group. And we heal each other, and we don't need so much. I mean, obviously, people doing dangerous things and falling off buildings, we're going to need somebody to sew us back up again. But that's a different kind of thing. Shouldn't let those people tell us what to do to get better, because they weren't taught that. They were just taught how to stitch people up in emergencies. You know, we're in a war.
I'm by setting an example and trying to avoid those emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, I was a mother of three. I get the drift. Mm-hmm. I didn't...
Yeah, so there's a difference between a surgeon and a doctor and a healer, you know? Isn't there, Marilyn?
Well... And somebody who makes sure there isn't dangers out there that's going to end up making issues later kind of thing.
Well, is that your warrior?
No, not at all. I just don't like cleaning up messes and being, having to do more than one thing at once. And with children, that's the way it goes sometimes.
You have to clean up lots of mess all at once, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that you can make a lot of things dirty without getting anything clean?
Or done.
And the only thing, the only way you can get something clean is by making something else dirty.
That's right.
Mm. But,
like
you,
soap.
You,
like soap.
Yeah, but you can get everything dirty without getting anything clean.
Mm-hmm. Is that the duality thing again, JP?
it's negative entropy. Eventually everything gets dirty. And eventually everything gets in the wash.
So it's not really a negative as a derogatory, it's just a less of a positive. And you have to kind of learn to become more comfortable with certain kind of words because we put such evidence on some of them that they gain a power and then
it's
they control
emotion.
Us.
It's the emotional content that we're programmed to receive during those words. It's like I was saying before, you use the word I-M-A-G-I-N-E, you know, and you instantly go out of your conscious mind. And it's a known trick. It's a known NLP, you know, it's like really everybody knows that. You just use that word, and that's why, you know, these politicians and speeches, they always say, imagine if you will, and then, you know, you can say all sorts of BS. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Anything.
Simple program among the masses, Orwellian would be proud.
Yeah. So, because it's happened so many times, everybody, it's instant for everybody.
I'd like to say something about healing because, yes, I agree with you so much, JP, there needs to be a healer. You know, A community is beautiful because you have all these people that, they are gifted with these different abilities, like the healer, a builder, and all this stuff, you know. And, but, you know, when it comes to healing, sometimes no one can heal you. You have to do it yourself. And the lesson that I learned way back was in the 80s. My stepson, I was raising my son and my stepson by myself. I was a single parent raising both of them way back then. And my stepson, his tongue was like abnormally larger than most children, so he did not always have it in his mouth all the time. And he fell and his teeth bit all the way through his tongue. I mean, completely through. You know, and yeah, like I freaked out and I took him to the emergency room and stuff and they said, well, there's nothing to be done about that. It just needs to heal by itself. And that's why I'm saying sometimes the healing needs to be done within, you know, just my life lesson. Totally.
What a lesson. Oh my gosh. Interesting. Did his tongue fit better after that?
Oh, like the doctor said, it healed by itself, and you would never have known unless you were there to see it.
We are so strong if we were only taught how strong we really are.
Every 7 years, we get a cellular regeneration. I find that pretty fascinating as a human here.
Yeah, but if you didn't take care of the one cycle, the rest of them are going to play havoc on the same old cycle.
Proactivity is real important in our health.
Right.
Real important. But not to make light on your son there, yeah, but that was definitely a tongue twister. But, boy.
Jay?
So as we move forward in life, proactive is attractive. That's something that I like to go with. What do you guys think of that vibration?
I like people who are spontaneous, who say, yes, let's do it.
Because
I have to be like that. I've got to go back to the kitchen now. Listen, my kettle's going, like one of these, like, calling for
when
prayer.
When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter, this is your break to run and get it, Jay.
I'll be soon. I'll be back. You've got plenty to talk about. Talk about stuff.
Hot water is healthy. It's good. But all kinds of water is good.
The planet.
What kind of water you want to talk about, Mona?
I want to talk about saving the water in the sand, tar pits, and everywhere all the way down to L.A. and Florida and Georgia. Stop the oil.
Yeah.
We got to change
water
from oil to a cleaner alternative. Go hemp. Go hemp. We can do this. And do we have enough initiative? I know
that was a tongue twister.
I'm telling you, honey. Initiative to really care about what's happening on this planet. That is not just the Sioux Reservation who's had their land desecrated, stolen, and returned to them a mess.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to let every other waterway of this nation be destroyed by corporate companies and people being hurt and like
corporate
the Bundys
concern
and LaFoy?
It's hypnotism. I mean, sorry for my dog. She wants to jump up on my lap. Anyway, it's hypnotism. I mean, people have been, in a way you could say blinded, but they've been hypnotized. I mean, exactly like 9/11 on Building 7, and a reporter standing in front of it, announcing the building had fallen, and then in the national news, there's no reaction because everybody is like in a state of mind that they're zombies.
A frequency, Stardust? Could we call it a frequency that they're not aware of?
No, it's not a frequency that they're aware of because they have the power to be aware. It's just that they've been introduced with an interrupter that puts their brain on hold. You know, it pauses their brain.
It's a shock.
They cannot see. Yeah. Well, it's like 9/11. You know, the building falls and you can't, and nobody sees it. I mean, like, if people were awake, they would have been, oh my God, this is, something's wrong here and all this stuff. And that's what's been going on, like, for a long time now. And see, here's what's so important, we are to the point of people, all of a sudden, it's like you're awake, and you're trying to stay awake, and you're trying to do something, and then you automatically fall, and you go into a micro sleep, and then you wake up your eyes, and you say, oh my gosh, I was just dreaming, I didn't realize it, and that's what's fixing to happen right now with this thing in North Dakota, is people all over the world, they're just opening their eyes, and they're suddenly realizing that right now. And it is so important. You know, that's why I was born and raised in North Dakota, and I'm telling everybody, the water there was so pure. I've never tasted water that tasted, the water was no more than 20, 30 feet below the ground. We had an old hand pump, well pump, the old, that you see from antique movies and stuff, and everybody needs to realize that this is happening, and it's a call out to everyone out there. If you have the ability, please, it don't matter whether you're a Native American.
They want to go under the lake. Now tell me how that age you're going to go under a lake, okay?
Well, that That's what I'm saying. If you have the ability, please, people out there, if you have the ability, please go there and show your support, because
Let's get some lawyers and some hackers and get some other real justification of it really changing. Because I get the support stuff and everything else like that. But they set up board blocks, and they can't get into the true essence of getting the power spot.
That's what I'm saying. Last time I heard, there was like 4,000 people there. We need to change that into millions of people.
They need to surround it like the old days and start drumming.
That's why I say please, people out there, if you have the ability to go there, please go there. Because we are old brothers.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Native American from 2,000 years ago living here. Just anyone. We are all one. We are all brothers. Please, everyone, if you have the ability, please go there. Because this is just too important for it to go bye-bye like so many other things, like Bundy Ranch and all that type of stuff. You know?
Yeah, and we haven't spoken about the value of the aquifer there. That's the one thing that, was with our future. It's so important for our planet. And,
they desecrated their heritage like they have all over this planet. And the elders have already cried so many tears. And it just needs to be stopped. This is genocide on the planet. Even the Venezuelans, I think, are fighting the companies down there because it's the corporations that are doing it all. Over.
Don't everybody talk at once.
So who do you think the corporations are, brothers and sisters? Shall I tell you who the corporations are? The corporations are... Come on.
I can think of is the Pope. He's part of it. DAPA, the CIA,
Nazis.
Who else?
The Nazis. The Zion Nazi Pope. I mean, the Zion Nazi thing is just like a Catholic thing as well. It's just all part of the same thing. It's all probably run by the Romans.
A special class of parasites.
Special class.
Special class in their minds. A special class.
Chosen ones. Anyway, so there they are, putting vaccines, putting mercury in our vaccines, and basically trying to spray us and poison us to death.
Have you heard about the Zika thing that's happening over here?
Well, it's going to be a hoax. So, it'll be if it's on the news, it's a hoax. Everything on the news is a hoax. Everything.
It's a GMO.
Everything.
It's a GMO.
Everything. 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 Everything.
If you saw
nothing
how
is
they
true.
Were being
nothing is true on the television. Sorry.
And knowing how the mosquito corporation and the pharmaceuticals that are paying to create the pesticides, and then the people in the government that are family members that are letting it all happen, we are being annihilated like by cans of Raid. And then the people that are spraying the stuff don't even recognize it because it's happened for so long. I remember the trucks driving down the roads and they were spraying for mosquitoes. So if it's happened since 40 years or longer, they're
cumulative
no
buildup.
Dragonflies, but, no more tadpoles, no more.
And when the bees go, you got 4 years.
They did that. South Carolina had no evidence of this Zika thingy, and they destroyed millions of bees because they had to spray around in the neighborhood. So now this is all getting so they want us dead, gone, and out of here. Pardon me.
And remember a long time ago, they used to tell you how good DDT
was. DDT
was,
right. Mm-hmm. Until the eagle's eggs were so thin that they couldn't reproduce any longer. That was a plus way back then. We really tried to care about this planet, but nobody cared after we cared.
Well, you see, the thing is that we didn't know who was doing it.
All right.
So here's the thing. We should stop all the activism. Stop it. Just stop everything. And just go after the Nazi bastards who are doing this. We know who they are. They've been over. Yeah, just go and just like, don't defend. Just go out there, snap their head off this beast. they're all hiding in their underground basements. Well, pour concrete down the ventilation shafts.
There you go. What a thought.
What do you do with bugs?
Now that did not cross my mind.
What do you do with bugs? What do you do with an ant's nest? God's sake.
I tell you what, something I truly believe is this time around. I mean, it just happened before, and they're able to go underground. They hide and come back out later. But, you know, things were different. The people that went down way back when and hid in the ground to evade this, you know, catastrophe, if you want to call it that, or whatever you want, word you want to label it, they were not the evil, really evil people that had done that. This time it's different. These ones now will want to go down. I mean, it's like they only are the evil ones going down, and this is going to be different. It's going to be totally different because Mother Earth, Gaia, she knows, and probably shouldn't be saying this because I don't want to let them know. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, this is going to be like a trap this time. This time it's going to be different. The evil ones are going to go down and they're going to lock those bunkers, but where are they going? They're going down into Mother Earth, and all she has to do is shake enough and collapse those walls to fall upon them and get rid of them. Well, so instead of the fleas being on the outside of her body and shaking them and throwing them off, they'll be on the inside, and she's going to shake and just crush them to death. That's my feeling. That's my belief.
Sounds like a contraction, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an expansion of the Earth. And that's what's going to do it, because they think that they're going to get away from the, you know. But here's the other thing. From, you know, all the intel that I've, you know, listened to and put together. So here's the thing. Here we are on the surface. There are our ancient ancestors on the inside of this planet. They have been waiting for this moment. So they're coming up from underneath. And so a lot of them don't like Nazis. So there might be, and they don't like the reptilians, and they're basically, they're Orion, this is the, right, so, who are the bad guys? From what I've gathered over my years talking to all these people, the bad guys are the Orion Consortium. They consist of the reptilians from Alpha Draconis, the Draconians, the Greys, and the Aldebarans. Now the Aldebarans are the Nordics, who are tall, blondes, beautiful, and incredibly evil. And those are the ones who were in connection with the Nazis in the 1930s and 40s. Right? So these are the bad guys.
And he wasn't really that bad of a guy, at least.
But here's the thing. I really gotta get this out. They pose as Pleiadian.
Huh.
And it's a false flag thing. As above, so below.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Could that actually mean with the channeling too?
Yeah.
Whoa. Interesting.
Some people who say they're Pleiadian are actually Aldebaran. And particularly, you know, and they're pretty 3D and they're pretty evil and they're AI infested. Basically, these groups, the Orion group, are AI infested. And they're kind of cornered into this sector here, and they're just kind of squeezing the zip here, really. And from what I understand, this is the last of them. So I did a webinar with Alex Collier the other day, and I said, all right, so after this, when are things going to be fine? And he said, well, you know, it depends what you mean by fine. You know, we're going to have a lot of rebuilding and, you know, lots of, we're going to have to rebuild society and make new ways of communing and all this stuff. And, you know, he was painting a brilliant picture. I said, well, to me, that's fine. So everything will be fine. It'll be work, but it won't be work in vain. like it is at the moment. This is the thing that I, you know, when I was in my late 20s, I was walking to work one day and realized that, you know, everything that I did was just so absolutely bloody useless. I didn't know it was worth. And I thought to myself, as I walked across, I had this realization that ended with the phrase, sod this for a game of soldiers, as we say in Britain, which is like, this is a stupid thing. I'm going to stop doing this. So I handed in my notice that day, and I retired at the age of 30 because I thought, you know, this is a stupid thing to do. Why do I have to do this? Why does anyone have to do this? And this is long before. Well, I did have a bike crash. That did change things in the way I was thinking. But it's all coming together to be the natural galactic way of thinking. That's how everybody else thinks. You know, everywhere else there's no money. Everywhere else everybody lives together and is telepathic. Everywhere else people get each other. Everywhere else there's no secrets. Everywhere else there's no tyrannical government.
I think I can recall those kinds of situations.
So here we are. And we're at the crossing point. We're at the crossing point.
You know, so
thoughts, people.
I don't know if you all listen to Keith's roundtable. In fact, he picked up the roundtable and went for the next 2 hours after that roundtable, which would have been dead air if nobody else would have picked it up. And he picked it up, and something that he believes in that I agree with completely is love. You need to learn how to love, unconditional love. I mean, even that person who wants to pull a knife and stab you in the heart, you still need to love them.
Yeah, that's kind of the tough love kind, but yeah, I get your drift. I mean, you know, you first better love yourself stronger so you don't allow somebody to want to pull a knife on you, right?
Yeah, but how are we going to ascend if we don't first learn how to love each other or love ourselves to start with and then love each other and just be in harmony and be
so,
one with the universe?
How do we love ourselves? How do we love each other? How can we be in accord? How do we move like the crickets? Why can't we just be like the crickets and then just tune in and everybody's in the flow and, hi George, hi Brent, you know, everybody's there, you know, waving to each other. And why can't we do that? Why are there boulders in our washing machines causing them to bounce all over the place, as it were?
Well, first of all, what we need to do is, let's just call it the news media, you know, the ones out there that wants to make news, because things that happen is because they want that to happen to be able to affect our minds. And first of all, we need to ignore them, you know. They're trying to, I don't like using this type of thought, but they want to piss us off, and what we need to learn is don't let them bother you. Ignore them. Gee, you know, just it's all about love. I'm telling you, it's all about love, and they are trying to make hate, and they're making all this stuff so you see this, and they piss you off, and it's just quit giving into them. Just say, I love you people to be there for them, you know. Over.
So how does love translate? How does the feeling, how can you translate a feeling into action? I was talking with them. Well, here's the thing. You do things.
I'm going to say, basically, it's really basic. I mean, in the Bible, they say from the beginning, turn the other cheek, you know. Somebody punches you, turn around your face, and let them punch the other side. And maybe they'll beat you to death, you know. They're only going to beat my body to death. I'm still going to be here. That's the way I feel, okay?
Rob?
Huh? Somebody's typing.
Rob, speak. You're saying
hello.
There you go.
Hello.
Read what you were saying. Typing. So say what you're typing. Oh God. Speak.
Well, JP holds the spiral. He's holding a copper spiral, and it's a happy spiral. It's a positive energy, and I like the energy that JP projects to the world. I'm attracted to that energy. It's a spiral of love. And I'm just saying thank you, JP, for having me on Journeys. It's always a productive, enlightening experience. It's a fun time, to, you know, to come together with friends, you know, people that I consider my friends here on the internet radio world. And I just say, you know, it's a journey for all of us to share. And that's what I wanted to type in there. So
thank you very much. Well, YOLO, you know, well, you don't.
That comes from the heart.
Yeah. You only live infinite numbers of times. But, you know, we're here to make it count, you know. Let's just, you know, be alive and be a love. And so, you know, I'm going to propose some things, you know. Here's how to love yourself. Here's how to be loving, right? Here's some more tips on how to be loving. Be kind to your future self.
I know, right?
Do you know what that means? That means if you've got, if you normally, say you wake up in the morning, every morning, and you stagger to the kettle and you switch on the kettle, you make your coffee and blah, blah, blah. But some mornings you didn't wash up the night before, so you have to wash up the cup in order to make your first morning cup of coffee. That's going to put you in a bad day, isn't it? So,
no,
to be kind, you understand what I'm talking about. To be kind to the future self is you do it the night before while, tidy everything up, get everything in order and set things out so that you make it easy for yourself the next morning. Don't make life difficult for yourself. And I see people forever making life difficult for themselves in the future.
Could we call that a vibration of proactivity?
Yeah, I suppose you could. It's realizing that life is a continuum and you're the same person.
Yes.
And you're going to feel just as pissed off today as you would be tomorrow, you know?
And how about this? If it's a spiral and it's happy, why not jump in and enjoy it?
That's right. And, when you're on a happy spiral, it just makes it happier. You know, things just get better.
We've forgotten
how
to appreciate life altogether.
I remember very well, Mona. I know how to have a good time, and I want to share that. Because a lot of people, we've forgotten how to make time good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, think good time, oh, that's girls and booze. No. How do we make time good? You know what I'm saying? You know,
well,
how do we make
world,
good
maybe,
time?
Because I was thinking of the two different kinds of love that a male set would have and what they consider love and what a female set would have. And what they'd consider love, because females have an organic nurturing. Men who show the nurturing are called names and not given the right to be human, which is very sad. You know, the separation for just that love word has created so much that we need to heal.
It's, again, it goes back to what we were talking about really at the beginning, and we were talking about how when we grow up in an environment that is particularly not loving, but that's what we get used to, and that's what we call love. That's what feels like home. And, you know, some people's home may be a kind of arguing, squabbling, but generally, you know, loving kind of environment. Other people may grow up in a cold, sterile, staring coldly at the each other over the kitchen table after night after night. And, you know, this little child growing up, dipping its soldier in the egg, you know, day after day, night after night. That's what love feels like. And so when they have a relationship, they end up with some cold psychopath who they didn't know what was going on because they just felt that they were being loved by them because they were cold and psychopathic.
Familiar.
Yeah, it felt like home.
How about this? How about a vibration of comfort?
Oh, I always.
Some people don't know what it's like. Some people don't know comfort.
How can we help comfort? Comfortable. That vibration.
Yes, yeah.
It's all about the heart. It's all about feeling like home in the heart, isn't it, Daryl?
I would like to throw some personal experience in there. When you talk about the way I was raised up, we were a very, very close family, but, you know, we never, I mean, there's families where, you know, they're constantly always hugging each other and telling how much they love each other. And that did not happen in my family. We never hugged each other. We never told each other how much we loved each other. And maybe that's why I feel so strongly about how powerful and how much love actually means, is because I was not exposed to that then, and now I realize how important it is, you know.
Right.
But something else I wanted to talk about, you know, you're talking about time and all this stuff and saving time, but I know exactly what you're saying, because one thing I do is when I come home, it's sometimes I do it in reverse order. Sometimes I unpack my lunchbox and get things in the refrigerator ready for the next day, so all I got to do is just throw it in the lunchbox and go. And the other thing I do is my clothes I wear for the next day have a belt, and I have a little, one of those little keychain things, you know, the little spiral chain thing that you pull out, you know, because I got to use keys constantly at work. And I got a little multi-tool thing, and then I have this little miniature box blade thing that clips onto my belt loop. So I get my clothes prepared. When I first come home, I get my next pair of shirt and pants that I wear the next day, and I take everything out of my pockets, because there's many things in my pockets I use, you know, for my job, just in case I need them, you know, pens and glue stick, pen, and you can't imagine everything I have in my pockets. And that's why I wear suspenders, because I got so much of our cargo pants, and I have so much stuff in my pockets that I use suspenders to keep my pants falling down beyond my butt and don't do the crack thing, you know. And, you know, so I get everything prepped up and, you know, put everything in those pockets so, you know, when I wake up, I ain't got to worry about it. Hurry up and doing that. Now, the only thing that's the emphasis, you know, the other day, it was time to wash clothes, and I had washed clothes and had it hung up, and then I fell asleep sitting on the couch and didn't have everything prepared, and the stress of having to do all that at once to try and keep from being late. And I was almost late, because it's a whole different world now, being late, because now where I work, it's you are easily fired for being late. You know. Over.
Mercury retrograde.
So JP, you were talking to Alex Collier, huh? Nice.
He has him on quite often.
I've been speaking to Alex twice a month now, and Simon twice a month now for the last couple of months, and also of our new friend Audrey Ewis. I had him on the show last week, and just the perspective that's coming out right now is just incredible.
Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad. And, we're looking after him in the Wolf Spirit chat room. It's a place where if you're kind of outlanders, off planeters, I don't know. Maybe we should have a cafe there, off-planet cafe. But anyway,
it's good to be that way.
It seems
Wolf's Ear Cafe.
Yeah, well, we'll look after you if you're genuine, you know, and you know, we recognize, we can, you know, we can sniff anyone out, really.
Yes, that is true.
Because we are the Wolf Pack, and we'll look after you if you're a good person. That's the thing about actually, there's the Wolfhound as well. The thing about the Wolfhound is that the reason that warriors would keep them is they would look into somebody's eyes, you know, because they're bigger than people. You know, they'll put their arms in on your shoulders and look you right in the eye.
Yeah,
and they would be able to tell if they were a friend or foe. You know, they look deeply into your soul. Incredible creature.
Gee, makes me want one now.
Elric. Elric was the name of my girlfriend's dog. He was a massive, he's like a little hairy horse. I mean, it was just a fantastic creature to have around. And he would come to my music studio. We would have jam sessions. She would bring him along and he would, you know, she'd just leave him for the jam session and he'd just kind of, sort of pad over to the corner. And, I mean, like, this is a huge creature. He'd just pad over to the corner and everybody would be dancing and jamming and playing music and getting drunk and falling over. And there he would be just kind of sitting in the corner there. Nobody got bitten, but some people nearly did get bitten because they trod on him. But that would be the only time he would be mean. Very, very beautiful, gentle giant. Yeah. Anyhow.
Yep. That's unconditional love right there.
That's, yeah. I mean, they are, I mean, he was just a gorgeous creature. And it was like nothing, they were very unaggressive because there was nothing of the level of aggression that required its level of aggression to come out. So they were just gentle all the time. And you know, only when a wolf came along or an enemy came along would it ever get angry? And it's just, that's just the most gorgeous. Very smelly though. Stank the whole, you know. Very, very smelly. But anyway. Only your best friends. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, these were prize winning, dogs. They were like, you know, top of the line. His sister, came second in Crofts 1 year, which is like the big British, all British dogs, all British dog show, you know, it's like Crofts is very famous. And I think they have, you know, international as well. But, this fellow, actually she died of, you know, here's the thing, right? This enormous creature that has this enormous heart, but just, the heart is not enough to keep this creature running for long. And so they only live about 7 or 8 years, or, you know, 10 at the most.
Mm.
And so they grow very quickly, very big, look like cartoon creatures as they run. They run brilliantly like a cartoon dog. And have, you know, just this gorgeous heart and soft brown eyes and stuff. Anyway, da-da-da-da-da, the Irish Wolfhound. Tell me all about it.
I had a hound dog. She was the exact same way. You could come in one of the most ticked off moods, look in her face, and just change your whole attitude. She was huge.
Yep.
Really good example of unconditional love right there.
I have two dogs, and they're just like totally opposite from each other. The smaller one, she's half Chihuahua, quarter Pomeranian, quarter Dachshund, and the only way to describe her is there are two different movies out there. One called Red Dog, Dog Out of Australia, that was totally dedicated for its owner, and after its owner passed away, it walked hundreds of miles searching for its owner, and the other one, I never can pronounce the Makachi. I mean, it starts with a K. It's a dog that originally, this true story, from a dog in Japan, and the movie that they made from it, Richard Greer, played the owner in the movie. And that dog, the owner, he passed away from a heart attack. And every day when he went to,
rode the train to go to work, and that dog would go with him at the train station, and then when he left, he'd go back home. And then the dog knew when he came back, when he come back off the train station, he'd go to the train station and be waiting for him when he came back. And the owner passed away from a heart attack, and for 10 years after, that dog went and waited at that train station every afternoon, waiting for him to come back. And that's the way this dog here is with me. I can't even go to the bathroom and use the bathroom with, I mean, when I gotta do a number two in the bathroom, the only thing she knows is it's playtime, and she'll bring a little rag doll toy, and it's playtime for her, you know, and she's constant with me. I can't, I mean, when I go to bed.
What happens when you do a number three?
She flies.
Because we have a not captive. It's because you're a captive audience. We have a cat who does that.
Well, see, what I was trying to get is, like I said, I have two dogs. The other dog is completely opposite. I mean, well, that's what I learned to. Oh, sorry. just.
Smoking in the house again, are you?
No, this is my weekend, but I never shut my alarm off. That's my alarm off. That alarm that tells me, hey, you need to get in the shower, you know, because you need to get ready to go to work, you know.
Anyway,
the other dog, she is like totally opposite. She is like so chill, so calm. And the half chihuahua one, she's like, well, her name is Taz, and that should describe the type of dog she is, because she's like a whirlwind. I used to take her up in this maple tree. I used to climb up this maple tree way up there, way taller than the top of my house. And then the tree had been topped a long time ago, so there's all these different branches coming out way up. Coming out, and she used to sit there and walk around those branches on top of that maple tree. Yeah, my neighbors really got freaked out about that, seeing me up on top of the tree and my dog up there walking around on top of the tree that's higher than the top of their house, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. These two dogs are just totally opposite. The one is so chill, so loving, unbelievable, and then this chihuahua one is like crazy as heck, you know.
Been fun, Jay. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, everybody. Happy Labor Day, if there is any labor left in you. I can't be asked anymore. I retired when I was 30, and I'm 55.
Well, happy birthday. Later.
Happy journeys, everybody. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Mona. Thanks, Stardust.
Love you all.